Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. And I'm reading verse 13. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So my title tonight, derived from these two verses, is The Only Gate to Life. The Only Gate to Life. But when I say life, it's the only gate to God, the only gate to heaven. So we come to the end. This is the end or the conclusion of the longest ever recorded sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. It covers three chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, the longest ever recorded. It is often called the Sermon on the Mount. But in this sermon, Christ covers numerous subjects and aspects of life. Life in the kingdom of God, but also how to obtain that life. So we have to look at both sides, not only life in the kingdom, but how to enter into the life of the kingdom of God. Now, as you know, as he comes to conclusion, the most important question for you and me after we have heard the sermon, what must I do? I think that's the most important question. What must I do? Am I going to deny it? Am I going to scoff it? To laugh about it? Am I going to ignore it? Or I'm going to take a very serious and positive action about it. This is really the most important question. That's why at the end here, the Lord is giving four series of twos. And actually, we could go back through the whole Sermon on the Mount. You will see how that dual, the twos are always going together throughout the whole sermon. I may even exaggerate by saying it goes through the whole Bible from the beginning to the end. And if I may just spell out some for you in this last section, there are four series from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. There are four series of twos. And the first one is in verse 13 and 14, the two pathways, the two roads, the two doors, the two gates. Then in verse 15 to 16, even to 20, you find the two trees. There are two trees, the good one, the bad one. Two fruits, the good one and the rotten one. Then from verse 21 to 23, you have two claims. The phony one, unsincere, and the genuine one. The false prophet and the true prophet of God. The false claimers, those who are just professors, but they are not partakers. And at the end, you find the two men, the two houses, the two foundations, but also the two ends. So all that is found really in this last conclusion, verse 13 to the end. So all these things also are given to us as illustrations. We all know about a door. We all know about a gate. We all know about trees. We all know about houses, though we are not builders, but we have an idea. We have a notion about how things are happening. But Christ is giving these illustrations to us to help us to understand, to help us to grasp, how can I be forgiven? How can I have all my sins be forgiven? How can I enter into the kingdom of God? But please, before I move on, Bible is a large book. It is a big book. But can I say something? It is a narrow book when it comes to salvation. There is only one way to be saved. Only one. So these two verses answer the question you hear in this world, so many religions. Which one is truthful? Which one is right? This one is saying, oh, if you follow us, you will enter in heaven. That one is saying, if you follow us, you will certainly enter in heaven. Which one is the genuine one? Matthew 7, 13 and 14 is narrow-minded. And if I may say this reverently, the Lord Jesus Christ made it to be narrow. When it comes to salvation, there is only one way. So now, there are five things, very clear, you don't need even someone to tell you that. There are five things spelled for us in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And I will quickly mention them, and then we go through them as time permits. The first one, you can see it in verse 13, there is a command, an imperative, something compelling, not optional. There is no recommendation here. There is no good advice. It's not optional. Imperative. It is a command. But second, you find two gates. Third, you have two ways, two roads. And thirdly, you have two travelers, two kind of companies. And finally, we shall see there are two final and eternal destinations. So that's what we find in these two verses. They are so simple, and no word is said there to be complicated. So a command, two gates, two roads, two travelers, two destinations with sharp contrasts in each case. So let's look at, I will leave the command, I will conclude with the command, but the first thing, my dear friends, we do not have multiple options or alternatives when it comes to heaven. There are only two ways to life. One is the good way, one is the bad way. One is the wrong way, one is the right way. One is the pathway to life, one is the pathway to death. And have you noticed something? In each way, there is a gate at the beginning, and we will explain that. So there is a gate at the beginning of each way. We enter on the pathway to life by a gate. We enter on the pathway to death by a gate. And all is said again to help us to understand what it means to be saved. So, which means there is no middle ground. There is no middle way. Satan is very cunning. You know, he's malicious. He has two big lies to tell us every day. And if you are not a Christian, I can guarantee you that these are the two lies he's telling you. The first one, there is no God. Big lie. The biggest lie in the world. He's the father of all lies, Bible says. And the second lie he tells you and me, you can be neutral. Big lie. There is no middle ground. You can have a neutral gear in a car, but not when it comes to salvation. You are involved. You must be involved. You are on one way or the other way. My dear friends, in a world, I said this already, but in a world again which has so many claims, every religion is trying to wave its banner as the highest as possible. Every religion is trying to shout as longer and stronger as possible, telling us, we are right, come to us, listen to us. There are only two trajectories of life, only two. in each one you are, it defines you. Each one of them, those two trajectories, defines who you are. So without any further ado, look at the first one. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. You see, wide, the gate comes first. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way. So the first way is the broad way and the wide way. This is crowded, we are told. It is crowded. It is easy to travel. If I may use this broad way and wide way, is user-friendly. There are no absolutes. There are no restrictions. There are no standards. There is no morality. Yes, morality by choice. And there are no obstacles. It is attractive, and it is large. And I believe this is the way, the broad way and the wide way is paved with good intentions. I will do this, I will do that. You know, I think we say it in English, but from French we have that saying, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions. But you see, the problem with the broad and wide way, you don't have to look for it. You are born in it. You are already on it in coming into this world. Which means what? Because you are born in it, Bible says, Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. We all come into this world as sinners. We are on it already. But the broad way and the wide way is a motorway where people are being told, nobody's wrong. We are all right. Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Relativism, rationalism. Your truth is yours, mine is mine. There is no absolute truth. We are all right, nobody's wrong. Everyone is welcome as long as you are sincere. You know, this is what we are told in this world. You don't need a religion, just be sincere about what you are doing. But people forget most of time that you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong at the same time. And also, this is the broad way and the wide way. Everyone is welcome as long as you are not too strict. You are not regimented. You are not dogmatic. Why? Because don't speak. There are forbidden words in the broad way and the wide way. Can I list some for you? Sin is a forbidden word. Shame is a forbidden word. Guilt is a forbidden word. Hell is a forbidden word. Salvation. No, don't speak about salvation. To be saved from what? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, forbidden word. Repentance, forbidden word. Faith in God is a forbidden word. We could multiply endlessly the words which are forbidden in the wide and the broad way. And I'm sure you know that, even more than me. Don't tell us about these things. Don't speak to us. And on the broad and the wide way, we are told, we are all the same. We are not so bad. Yes, from time to time, I have something which is unpleasant, or I lose my temper. But actually, I'm better than the neighbor. Have you seen what he does daily? So we compare ourselves. The broad way is a way where people spend their time comparing. It's a way of lust. It's a way of covetousness. It's a way of wickedness. You know, some of the young people in the world now, when you tell them wickedness is evil, no, wickedness is a trophy. Wickedness is something. Well, I was wicked unto him today. That's a great thing. But that's evil. It is evil. And on the broad and the wide way, be positive. You are with the many. You are with the majority. You are not so bad. We are all the same. Believe in yourself. Be your own ruler. Be the captain of your own boat. Let no one rule your life. Try this, experience that, try that. Don't go there, go here, and so on. This is what is happening on the wide and the Broadway every day, daily. Do what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want, while you are still young. You know, this is why so many young people are saying, oh, don't, preacher, don't be a killjoy. I want to enjoy myself. It's a the Broadway and the wide way, it's a way of amusement. Be amazed about God? Never, never. Me be amazed about God? I need amusement. I need fun. I need self-determination. I need my own self-righteousness. I need my pride. I need to be somebody, my ambition. This is what is happening with the broad and wide way. My dear brothers and sisters, the broad and the wide way is a way of perdition. It is a rat race of wickedness, of ungodliness, of hostility. It is a way where people are aggressive day after day. But you know, there is a difference. There is a contrast. The wicked way is contrasted with the wicked gate. That's the second. In verse 13, we are told, enter ye at the straight gate. And in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. But you remember, in the broad way, the wide way, sin is tolerated. Sin is justified. Sin is excused. But on the straight gate, please, English is not my mother tongue. I don't need to tell you that. But many times the word straight there mislead people. The word straight there doesn't mean without curves. And the word there means it is hard. But it is hard, not in terms of just difficulty. Yes, it is difficult, but it means it's positive. It means it is solid. It is firm. It has never changed. From the beginning of the world to the end, it will be the only way. It doesn't change according to man's opinion and speculation and imagination. It will always be the straight gate. It will always be the straight way. It will always be the only way for salvation. Now, why is it hard? Why? Why is it straight? Because it requires wholeheartedness. It requires an undivided heart. It requires a resolute heart. I want, I don't want. If you are irresolute, then it will be hard for you. It requires determination. You know why it is hard? Because most people will be opposed. You want to come to Christ tonight? As soon as you go out from the church, you meet with friends who are non-believers, you will be opposed. And Satan will fight tooth and nail to keep you in his fold. That's what he does daily. You know why it is hard? Because it requires humility. It requires to remove your self-righteousness, self-determination, pride, and so on. But it requires humility. Why? Because you cannot bring in whatever you want in the straight gate and in the narrow way. It's impossible. You have to leave certain things behind you. Can I name some for you? You have to leave your sin behind. You cannot bring your baggage and your luggage, your intellectual luggage or baggage. You cannot bring it in. Your pride, your self-sufficiency, you cannot bring it in. You have to leave it behind there. You know, you cannot enter by a group of people. Why? Because it's a narrow gate. You enter one by one. It is a lonely gate. It is a lonely way. You know, but I want to make it positive. Yes, it is lonely, but as soon as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance tonight, you will never be alone. Never again. You will have the infallible guide. You will have the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You will have the Savior who said he will never forsake you. So in a sense, you will be with the majority. Though you may think you are alone there, you will be with the majority because you have God with you. But the hard way, the straight way, requires also humility, because you cannot just come in. It has an owner. The owner won't let you down. Please, I just figured into my mind that this gate must be very heavy. It is heavy. Someone must open the door for you. And this is what Christ has done. He made it. He made a way. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I'm the door. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I'm the way. There is no other way. So he made a way. He made it simple for you and me. We do not have to work hard, in a sense. So it is a hard way, because the Lord Jesus Christ made it for you. No one is born into it. The broad and the wide way, we said, everyone is born into it. But you are not born in the narrow way, or you are not born to enter in the narrow gate. And no one enters into it by accident. You enter in it because God brought you by seeking. You don't have to make your way. The Lord Jesus Christ made the way. He's the door. Now, it is not only straight. The text says it is a narrow gate. It is a narrow way. You cannot enter as you wish. Why? It is narrow because it requires for you to change your mind. It is narrow because it is against the way of the thinking of this world. Please, again, I speculate here. I'm just thinking the two roads are parallel. They are going together. But the difference is that the narrow way is going against the tide, in opposition. You see, that's a beautiful picture. So while the majority of people are going this way, you are going the opposite way, because conversion is a change of direction. If you have never changed your direction in your life, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, and in every aspect, you have repented, you have changed your mind about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about this world, about Satan, about sin. If you have never done that, then you are still on the broad way, in opposition to the tides. You are driving against the tides. I must see myself as a sinner. Otherwise, I will miss the narrow way. Narrow because it requires determination. It requires effort in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ, and because many things will prevent you from getting into the narrow way. It is narrow because I must repent and forsake my sins. This narrow gate will let in only the repenting sinner, the believing sinner, and the humble sinner. I repent from my sins. I forsake my sins. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I humble myself before thee. And I humble myself before him, not counting on my good works, never, but only by grace. Ye are saved by grace through faith alone, not by good works. So it is narrow because it doesn't tolerate sin. But guess what? It is positive. The chief of sinners can come and enter. It is hard, but even a child can enter. It is narrow, but the biggest body-built man in this world, with all his muscles and whatever you can put on his body, with the heaviest weight in this world, man and women can enter into it one by one. Though it is narrow, though it is straight, a child can come in. The biggest man can come in. The chief sinner can come in. It is all by grace. And no one comes by repentance and faith is rejected. Can I ask you before I move on which way are you tonight? The broad and the wide way, or the straight and the narrow way? The straight gate and the narrow way. Second, the travelers. Look at the travelers. I will be certainly in trouble with the time. The travelers, many and the few companions. So that's the travelers according to the verses. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in their art. And in verse 14, the narrow way leads to life, and few there be that find it. There are two companions, two travelers, the many and the few. That's what we see in this world. This is why we keep on saying there are only two kind of people in this world. And countless people travel on the broad way, the large way. It is jammed solid, really, many. But only few find the narrow gate. Not because it is hidden, but because they don't want to see it. They have prejudices, many prejudices, and they don't want to seek after it. Why? Because they think, oh, it's too simple. And I heard even this week, while in evangelism, somebody told me, oh, this is too simple. Yes, it's too simple for us, but believe me, this is the most laborious, the most sophisticated, the most complex way of salvation, because God did it. God must do it, otherwise no one could be saved. No one. So it is not hidden. It is simple because God provided that salvation. Majority is not a criterion for truthfulness when it comes to salvation. You know that, I'm sure. It's not because everyone believes in it that it is true. Actually, most good things are never in the majority. The voice of the people is never the truthful voice. The crowd, just following the crowd, the mass. Or you may feel that you are alone on the narrow way, but it is actually made of a number that no man can count. And it is better to go into life with the few than to go into hell with the many. Who are your companions? Who are your companions? The many or the few? There is no neutrality, and there is no such thing called free thinkers. What is important is not how many, but have you entered? That's the most important. Thirdly, the two final and eternal destinations. Wickedness, you know that, loves company. A road's importance depends upon where it leads. We are all moving towards a destination. You like it or not, we are all in a procession, really, moving towards either hell or heaven, life or perdition or destruction. These are the two only places there is now, but also in the future. Oh, the narrow way leads to life, heaven, and the broad way leads to destruction. The broad way begins with ease, but it ends with total ruin, loss, and misery. The narrow gate, which is the way of the cross, starts hard, but it ends with eternal life. The wide way may be smooth in the beginning, but it resorts in the bottomless pit. The narrow gate is never comfortable, but it ends with forgiveness of sins. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I become a new person. My mind is changed. My heart is changed. I can pray now to the living God. He hears my prayers. I am a member of the richest and the greatest family in the world. And when I die and I leave this world, as soon as I give the last breath in this life, I open my eyes again before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. That's what the narrow gate gives me, because the narrow gate is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't believe in yourself. And some people say, don't worry. When one door is closed, another one will open. You know the another one is what? The broad way. And it leads to hell. It leads to the lake of fire. People don't want to hear about these things nowadays. Please don't spoil my night. But you can rejoice by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking about what he suffered on the cross of Calvary, where he paid the penalty of our sins. If you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you come to him in repentance tonight. You remember Noah? 120 years he preached to the people. They mocked him. When he entered into the ark, and there was only one door to enter into the ark, and the people who entered were saved. And it is said, God closed the gate. God closed the gate. No way. And the rain came. Everyone was lost except those who entered in the ark. The ark is a symbol, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark is a symbol of this text, the narrow gate. You enter, you will never be lost. Let me close by the command. In verse 13, it says, enter ye at the straight gate. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, this is the strongest command in the Greek text. It's not just enter. It is a command. Enter ye in. And you can see that this is not only the best way, it is the only way. It is not just an option or a good advice, a recommendation or a suggestion. Please, do you see? The Lord is not saying, oh, think about it, admire, or stand by it. He doesn't say even knock. Somewhere else he says knock. But here, he doesn't say knock at it. He doesn't say receive. He doesn't say admire. He doesn't say contemplate. He doesn't say choose. Somewhere else he says choose, but here he just say enter. Is that complicated? When you have a visitor, you say, come in, enter. He doesn't have to make any effort. There is no door to push. The door is already open. So Christ made it so simple. Come in without delay, because the door will soon be closed. Enter in by repentance and faith, and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The one who enters, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and so on, is the blessed one. You enter tonight, Bible says that you will be a blessed person. Oh, the blessedness of someone who enters into the kingdom of God. There is no greater joy. I see the poverty of my soul. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I see the evil part of my sins. I accept that I am a sinner before the living God. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, you can replace the word enter by believe. Believe in the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow way. You don't have even to knock at it. You just have to make that step of faith. And I receive the blessedness, and I receive fellowship with God. My dear friends, my time is over. But you know, elsewhere, the Lord Jesus Christ said, strive to enter. Agonize. Make efforts to enter into the narrow gate. Come to Christ. He will accept you, and he will bless you mightily. Do you see something? I don't want you to miss this. In the text, it says, because straight is the gate among many gates. No, straight is the gate, the only gate. There is no other gate. Isn't that wonderful? That as I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he paved the way. He came from heaven to earth. He paved the way with his precious blood. On that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid. He shed his blood for every repentant sinner. So you come to him tonight in repentance, he will embrace you. He will make of you a child of God. And in him is the majority. So there is a gate, there is a way, there is a company, and there is a destination. Where are you? Where are you tonight? Please, my dear friend, enter by the narrow gate. Travel by the narrow path with the small company, but it leads to eternal life, not to perdition. And no one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ will ever be lost. Come to him tonight, and you will be compared to a wise man, a blessed man. Here is the way. Enter into it and walk in it. Enter ye at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My prayer is that the Lord will help you to be among those few who have found that gate. May the Lord bless us.